Josh, thanks so much for reading. Happy New Year, everyone. Please leave that passage open and let's say a prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you so much for your word, how easily we take it for granted, and yet you speak with us, you want to work in us, and you promise that your word is powerful. And how we pray that even this evening you'd be powerfully at work in each of us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as David said, it's a new year, and often a new year is a good opportunity to kind of look back on the past year, the kind of successes, failures, look forward to the coming year. And as we do that, I think one kind of theme that comes out for most of us is this desire for change. Now, that might be on a kind of big scale, perhaps kind of world events. It's interesting. You don't know what newspaper you read or if you read one at all. But if you've picked up any reviews of the last year, they say 2016 didn't really go very well. And let's hope it's a bit better in 2017, perhaps on a big world scale. But, you know, quite often just personally, we think, oh, wouldn't it be great for there to be change, maybe to the circumstances in your life? But if most of us are honest, it's not just the circumstances of our lives that we want change in. It's us that we want change in as well. Maybe there's something that you want to stop doing in 2017. Maybe there's something you want to start doing in 2017. Maybe it's deeper than that. There's someone you want to stop being in 2017. Someone you want to start being. You look at that person, you say, I wish I could be more like them. And I want to change to be like that. And actually, even those of us who perhaps outwardly, everything looks like it's going quite well. Well, personally, we know what goes on behind closed doors in our own lives. And we think, I'd love there to be change in those areas. That's, I think, why New Year's resolutions are so popular. And I think, you know, even if you're not the kind of person who makes formal resolutions, actually all of us have hopes and dreams and expectations for the year ahead. But I think on the whole, when it comes to New Year's resolutions, it kind of divides us into two camps. You have on the one side over here, perhaps the optimists, the people who very happily have a long list every single January the 1st, and they're very optimistic about whether they'll be able to put those into practice. And then over here, perhaps, you have the pessimists, or perhaps you'd call yourself realists. And you're the kind of people who say, oh, well, I've resolved to stop making New Year's resolutions, and slightly kind of miserable about the whole thing. Just chat to the person next to you. Do you think when it comes to your expectation for change, are you generally optimistic or generally pessimistic, do you think? Just chat just for a moment. Okay, well, perhaps you can carry on talking about that that later on. You know, it's interesting. When we turn to the Bible, we see something really interesting about this whole area of change. We see that the Bible is both optimistic and pessimistic about this whole area of change in our lives. It's optimistic in that it says, yes, genuine, actual change is possible in your life. Not just possible, but actually if you're following Jesus, it is inevitable in your life. It's very optimistic, but it's also pessimistic. It says that your sinful nature is much stronger, much more powerful than perhaps you've realized. It goes much deeper. And that means progress will feel slow, painful, perhaps even non-existent. There's a real careful balance in the Bible's teaching. Of course, the danger is, all of you optimists out there, who is an optimist, by the way? Yeah, all you optimists, when it comes to the Bible, you just notice those bits that say, yes, change is possible. So you go, oh, the Bible says we should be changing. And then you pessimists out there, who are the pessimists? You are the guys who just notice that bit of the Bible that says, oh no, sin goes very deep and don't be too optimistic. Of course, what we need to do is listen carefully to both aspects of the Bible's teaching. And perhaps if we know ourselves to be pessimistic by nature, we need to particularly hear the message that, yes, change is possible. And if we're perhaps naturally optimistic, we need to hear particularly the message that change, well, it's going to be slow. Be realistic about that. And this passage in Galatians we're going to be looking at for the next few minutes together, helps us to see exactly how that kind of balance plays out. And I think what that will mean for us as we go into 2017. Because whether we're an optimist or a pessimist, actually all of us need to let our hopes and expectations for the year ahead be shaped by God's word rather than our own wishful thinking. So three things then in this wonderful little passage in Galatians that we see about the Bible's teaching on change. And the first is this: genuine change is supernatural. That's the first thing the Bible tells us about change in our lives. Genuine change is supernatural. Just have a look with me at verse 16. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law." Now, when it talks there about the sinful nature, that's just another way of talking about what us people are naturally like. Okay, naturally we've got hearts that turn away from God. And when the passage talks about the Spirit, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, which is a gift of God to everybody who puts their trust in Jesus. And you see, this sinful nature and this Spirit are in conflict with each other. That's what it says in verse 17. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. And that means that you can think of a Christian believer's life a bit like a boxing ring. I don't know if you watch boxing, or you can choose another kind of violent sport of your choice if you like. But let's stick with boxing for the time being. And it's as if Paul is saying, look, over in the red corner is this sinful nature. Okay, he's big, he's ugly, and he's used to getting his own way. And you can see what he's like from verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, we might not know quite what all of those words mean, but we get the picture, don't we? It's not a nice picture at all. That's the red corner and the sinful nature. But then in the blue corner, the Christian believer has the Spirit at work. And of course, he couldn't be more different than the sinful nature. Do you see what he's like from verse 22? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so that means if you've got both the red corner and the blue corner in your life, which you do if you're a Christian believer, life is going to feel like a bit of a boxing match. I don't know, maybe you've experienced that over the Christmas periods. So the sinful nature will say, go on, have another drink. Everyone else says, it's not a big deal. And then the Spirit pipes up and says, no, self-control. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. It's what God wants for you. The sinful nature will say, go on, give it to him. He deserves it. He has been so harsh to you. And the Spirit pipes up and says, no, gentleness, kindness. They're beautiful things. That's what God desires for you. Sinful nature says, go on, click on the website. You've had a stressful day. You need some kind of release. And the Spirit says, no, faithfulness and love are beautiful things. That's God's desire for you. It's like a boxing match going on in our lives. And it can feel pretty discouraging. But actually, experiencing that kind of battle is a sure sign that the Spirit is at work in your life. Take the Spirit away, and of course, there is no major battle going on. You see, God's desire for each of us is to make us all more like his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the only way that that is possible is if God himself comes into our lives. That's what it's saying. You need the Spirit in your life if you're going to have any chance at all at taking on this old sinful nature that we all have. In other words, genuine change, do you see the point? It's supernatural. Take away the spirit and you haven't got a hope. And if you're not a Christian here today, this is a crucial thing to understand. You see, it's very easy to think that Christianity is just a kind of religious version of self-help, teaching us to kind of live a better life, to try and be better people. But what we see here is it's much, much more radical than that. Actually, it says your sinful nature is so powerful and so out of control in your life that the only chance of getting it under control is if a power from outside of yourself comes into your life and brings about change. And through Jesus, that is exactly what the good news of Christianity promises. Have a look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now what that means is that when someone becomes a Christian, our old sinful selves, Jesus gets crucified for them. We deserve to be punished by God for our rejection of him. Jesus takes that in our place. No more fear of facing God's judgment. And not only so, as we've seen, God then sends the Holy Spirit into our life and supernaturally starts taking on our old sinful selves. Genuine change is supernatural. And for those of us who are believers, at the start of a new year, we need to keep remembering this ourselves. It's so easy for us to say things like, well, yes, of course, I know that I've been saved by God's grace. But then when it comes to living the Christian life, we think, oh, I must try harder. I must do better. And it all comes back to ourselves again. But that's not what's being said here. Yes, we're saved by grace. And you know what? The Christian life is possible by grace as well, as God empowers us by the Spirit to live for him. So yes, by all means, make resolutions, but realize that without the Spirit's work in your life, genuine, lasting change will be impossible. That means we need to do what verse 25 says. Since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with him, learning daily to rely, not on our own kind of self-will, but on the Spirit's power. And we'll spend a few more minutes at the end thinking practically about what that might involve. So that's the first truth about Christian change that we see, genuine change that we see in this passage. Genuine change is supernatural. Here's the second thing. Genuine change is internal. It's supernatural, and genuine change is internal. Perhaps you've heard the old and slightly naff story about the Christian and the bear. I'll tell it to you again, just in case you haven't. Christian is out for a walk in the woods. Hears some rustling, and there's this enormous bear that confronts him. He's heard that the best thing to do is freeze, so that's what he does. But the bear notices him, starts coming towards him. So kind of ignoring all of the ice, he absolutely legs it. Only the bear outstrips him, and before he knows it, the bear is holding him in his arms with his mouth open, about to gobble him up. And so this Christian man, as a kind of last-ditch resort, thinks, I know, I'll say a prayer. And so he prays and says, Lord, please, please make this bear a Christian. Amazingly, the bear puts him down, puts his hands together, and says, for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Now, wonderfully, the change that God's Spirit plans to bring in our lives isn't just the externals, but our hearts. It's internal. Have a look again at those wonderful fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It's really interesting, that last little sentence. No law against such things. You see, rules and laws almost always concern externals. Now, they're concrete things that mean you can say, yes, I've kept that law. I've done that rule. Or no, I've broken that law. Actually, we quite like rules, don't we? Because it means that we can kind of track our progress in a nice, straightforward way. You remember the rich young ruler, perhaps, in the Gospels, who had a smile on his face as he said, yes, I've kept all of these since I was a boy. But did you notice how different the fruit of the Spirit is? Not rules and laws, it's internal, about our hearts and our attitudes. And that's why at the end it says, against such things there is no law. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is not an external thing that you can make rules about. And when you start looking at what they are, that it makes sense, doesn't it? Take love, for example. Sure, you can make an external rule. Perhaps the rule could be, you must always help grannies across the road. That's not a bad rule, but it's not going to make you love the person. Or joy. Perhaps you could have a rule that would say, you must always smile and say that you're doing just great. Okay, that won't give you a genuine joy in your heart. We'll take peace. Perhaps you could come up with a rule and say, look, you must meditate for 10 minutes every day. But that won't give you a deep peace either. Or patience. You could try and make a rule about that as well. You must never bang your horn when you're stuck in a traffic jam. But that's not going to give you a heart of patience next time you're in that situation. Or kindness. You must stick around after church and ask someone how their week has been. But that's not going to give you a kind heart. Or self-control. You must never use the computer after 11 p.m. to avoid temptation. But that's not going to give you a desire to live a self-controlled, godly life. Do you see the point? The fruit of the Spirit is internal. God's plan for us is not for us to keep a load more rules, but to have new hearts, new desires. It's such a wonderful thing because, listen, if your heart is governed by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, you don't need any rules. If that's your heart. Now, the Galatian Christians were being persuaded that they still needed the Old Testament law in their lives. That unless they kept the Old Testament law, they weren't part of God's family. And Paul has been arguing so strongly in this letter, saying, look, that is nonsense. You can't keep the law anyway. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross for you, to take the penalty that you deserve. And when they come back and say, yeah, but how can you possibly expect someone to live a godly life without the law? This is Paul's answer, the Spirit. No longer external rules, but an internal heart change. And I think that means for us believers, we need to be careful about measuring our Christian lives according to externals. Perhaps you're a bit like me. You say, 2017, I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. I want to have more conversations with my colleagues about Jesus. Now, they're good things, of course, but the change that the Spirit prioritizes is internal and not external. See, I think if God was going to kind of say, what are my priorities for Sam Brewster? There'd be more like this. I want Sam to have such a genuine love for me that he wants to read his Bible, find out more about me, pray to me day by day. I want Sam Brewster to have such a love for other people in his heart that he wants to have them over, extend hospitality towards people, get to know them. Sure, I want Sam to have fewer arguments at home, but really I want his heart to be patient and gentle so that that inevitably follows. I want Sam to have a character that is growing in faithfulness, so that he keeps his commitments and is reliable to other people. Sure, I want Sam to tell people the gospel this year, but more than that, I want him to have such a joy in his heart that he wants to do that. Do you see the difference? The Spirit, genuine change, is internal. Now, those external checkpoints, they're no bad thing, but we've got to remember that the engine, if you like, starts in our hearts, and that's where genuine change begins. That's what the Spirit wants to do in our lives in 2017. Genuine change, it's supernatural, it's internal. Finally, and a little more briefly, genuine change is gradual. It's gradual. One of my jobs at home is to do the vacuuming. Now, we don't have a massive house. It's not a massive job, but I have to confess, my heart is really not in this particular job. And eventually, there's almost always a conversation like this between Lucy, my wife, and myself. It goes something like this. Lucy says, "Sam, the house is disgusting. Please, would you do the vacuuming like you said you would?" I reply, "Looks fine to me. Can't see any mess at all." Lucy says something like, "Are you joking?" And I kind of look as innocent as I can and say, "No, seriously. I mean, look, I can't really see any mess at all. I really think it can wait." And then Lucy says, "Come on, Sam, we agreed." And I normally say, "Okay, I'll do it tomorrow." And then check, you know, we'll have the same conversation this time tomorrow, perhaps. Maybe that's just me. But when it comes to our lives, I think we can tend to think the same kind of thing. A bit of a moral vacuum, perhaps, would be no bad thing. But actually, deep down, I'm not that bad. I'm okay. It's not as bad as all that. Just take a moment again to look at that list from verses 19 down to 21. I read a review in the Daily Telegraph yesterday of the year, and its last sentence was this. As Planet Earth 2, the kind of David Attenborough documentary, showed, our world is still outrageously beautiful. It's the humans in it that need some work. Summary of the year. And it's not just the humans in it, it's us. And as we look at this list, we realise it's not just a little bit of moral vacuuming that's needed in our lives. Actually, the work to be done in our lives is much more like what's happening over at St. Mary's at the moment. A complete overhaul and redesign. And as the Spirit works in a person's life, actually, we begin to realise just how deep our sin goes and how much work he has to do. And like that building work, it means change in our lives is going to be gradual. There are some aspects of our sinful old selves that are so deeply ingrained that it will literally take a lifetime for there to be perceptible progress. That's why the metaphor of fruit is so appropriate. Fruit grows gradually. You see, when someone becomes a Christian, there are lots of things that happen immediately. We're immediately transferred into God's family. We're immediately completely forgiven. We're immediately given a certain place in God's future kingdom. But we are not immediately changed and transformed. That's something that happens gradually as day by day we keep in step with the Spirit's work in our lives. It's gradual, but it's inevitable. Do you remember the boxing ring? I hate you to think that the blue and the red corner were somehow evenly matched. They're not. The Spirit always has the upper hand. That's what it says, actually, in verse 17. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. What we want naturally is to go with the sinful self. But now the Spirit actually makes genuine progress and stops us from doing that. Change is inevitable, but it is gradual. It can be so frustrating, can't it, when we keep getting it wrong. If you had this experience, you say, "Look, I'm not going to do that again." And then you do. And then you say, "I'm not going to do that again." And then you do. And it's so frustrating. I don't know how you respond to that. Maybe you're the kind of person who just keeps going. But more likely, like most of us, it's pretty easy just to give up and think, "Oh, maybe that's just what I'm like. I'm never going to kick that habit." We need to remember change is gradual. We mustn't give up. Keep repenting. Keep believing. Keep persevering. Keep asking for the Spirit's power to make change. And let's learn to encourage each other as well. You know, I think personally, we are the last people to notice change in our own lives. We live with ourselves the whole time, so we just don't see it. So as brothers and sisters, point out how God has been at work, changing each other. It's a wonderful thing to do. It can be really encouraging. Help us to keep pressing on. Genuine change is supernatural. It's internal. It's gradual. How should we respond to this? Well, verse 16 and verse 25 sum it up. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. David gave us that picture of an open door and fresh snow. No footprints. Where are we going to go? Well, think of it like this. The Spirit has already put one set of footprints ahead of this year for you. Those footprints are becoming more and more like Jesus. We are called now to keep in step with him. What he prioritizes for us, we must learn to prioritize ourselves. We must pray that we would want to do what he wants in 2017. Well, why not start by memorizing this list of the fruit of the Spirit? It's a wonderful thing. There's only eight of them. And ask the Spirit to give you the self-control to read God's word, the Bible, day by day this year. That's where we discover more of God's will, and so can keep more in step with his work in our lives. So optimists here, well done for being optimistic. Be realistic as well, and be dependent. Don't just seek change in 2017. Seek the Lord Jesus, who is the root of any lasting change in your life. Pessimists, you're right, it's a battle. But don't be cynical. Don't just give up with the old sinful habits you've given up fighting. Change is possible. Not under your own steam and not straight away, but with God, you will make progress in 2017. Let me pray as we close. Loving Father, thank you that through the Lord Jesus you have saved us entirely through your grace. Thank you that by the work of his Spirit now living in us, you also empower us day by day to grow and to change and to become more and more like Jesus ourselves. Lord, we confess that we find it frustrating how slow that change seems to be, how deeply our sin goes. And yet, loving Father, we do pray that you'd help us this coming year to depend upon you and to seek the change that you would seek in our lives, to keep in step with the work of your Spirit in us. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.